The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. We're still in the grips of the cold weather, rain, torrential rain, greeting those leaders who arrived for the Fifth World Holocaust Forum last night. Unbelievable how much rain we've been having. Snow apparently flurries in Jerusalem, snow on the high ground. So we're still in the grips of the winter weather. Of course, good for the water resources, not so good for people who don't like winter weather and wet weather. But we are trying to make the best of it as much as we can.
Mm. Let's just start off and talk about the Fifth World Holocaust Forum. That's beginning today in Jerusalem. What does this entail?
Well, of course, this is to coincide with the World Holocaust Day, which has been designated by the United Nations. And this Holocaust Forum, this is the fifth time, obviously, that it's being held. It's been held in various countries in Europe, particularly in Poland. I think there were two events that were held in Poland already. But this year being held in Jerusalem to memorialize the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz death camp. And leaders from 49 countries have been invited and will be attending this major, major event. Many of them already began arriving yesterday. Lots and lots of activities going on around the edges of this event with all these world leaders going to be here. The main event will be held at Yad Vashem tomorrow afternoon. And 40 of those world leaders will already attend a dinner this evening to be hosted by President Ruvi Rivlin in Jerusalem. And besides that, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu will be meeting with as many of the leaders as he possibly can. And President Ruvi Rivlin apparently will meet with all of them. He has designated half-hour slots to host the leaders of those countries. Apparently already began yesterday a series of intensive meetings to host his counterparts from Romania, from Bulgaria, from Portugal, from Georgia. He met with the Governor General of Australia. This morning we understand that Prime Minister Netanyahu and French President Macron will hold a breakfast meeting. And it's going to be interesting to hear what they've spoken about. But we do understand that Prime Minister Netanyahu will want to speak about the Iranian deal and to try to encourage the French to implement those snapback clauses that were set out in the agreement with Iran. And we also understand, interestingly, that France wants to become a member of one of those gas producing countries, or the wants to join the gas forum that has already been joined by Cyprus, Egypt, Israel, Greece, Italy, and Jordan to try to take advantage of the natural gas that's being produced now in out of the Eastern Mediterranean. It's called the Eastern Mediterranean Gas Forum. That's the group of countries that have been put together, and France has asked to join, which I think will be quite an interesting discussion to hold, especially when Prime Minister Netanyahu is trying to encourage the French to really kick the Iranian nuclear agreement into touch. So that's really what's been happening today. The dinner tonight really is starts the official events, and of course tomorrow at Yad Vashem, Russian President Vladimir Putin is also due to come along here tomorrow, and it's interesting that there will be a ceremony at Yad Vashem before the main ceremony, and this will be in the attendance of with the attendance of Vladimir Putin, and that is a ceremony to memorialize the siege on Leningrad, in which it's estimated that, I don't know, between 600,000 and 1.5 million people died. 3 year siege that was laid to Leningrad, of course, now St. Petersburg, and that there will be some sort of a memorial to remember those people who died in that siege, including, we understand, quite a number of Jews, apparently tens of thousands of Jews, some of whom had enlisted in the Red Army. So that will also be held tomorrow before the main ceremony at Yad Vashem. And just another interesting little piece of information, very, very few Holocaust survivors have formally been given invitations to attend the Yad Vashem ceremony. Yad Vashem ceremony tomorrow.
Can I just understand this? I'm sorry. The official day is on the 28th. Am I right?
The official day, I believe, is that has been laid down by the United Nations as the day is the 28th, and yet tomorrow is really the day that's being.
But tomorrow is the official Yad Vashem ceremony. They're not doing it on the 28th for whatever reason.
Right.
Okay. I've been trying to follow this, and it's just confused me as to how this is all working.
Right. So tomorrow is the official main day at Yad Vashem where the ceremony will take place. Yad Vashem have said that they have a limit of 780 people that they can fit into the event. Half of those seats apparently are being taken up by world leaders who've come along to participate in this event. And so as a result of that, very, very few Holocaust survivors themselves have been invited to the event, only a few dozen perhaps. And many Israeli politicians have said that that's not okay. Would you believe that there are 100,000 Holocaust survivors who still live in Israel? That was a number that was quite surprising to me.
I didn't realize that many.
But some Israeli politicians have given up their seats at the Yad Vashem ceremony, and they've said they would prefer that seat to go to a Holocaust survivor. So there have been quite a few of those. Unfortunately, it's not going to touch the 100,000. And of course, Yad Vashem have come out to say they had no way of inviting all of the Holocaust survivors or even half of them. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, they've issued an invitation to just a very few, perhaps 20 or 30 Holocaust survivors, one of whom, by the way, is Sir Frank Lowy, who is the very, very famous Australian eminent businessman, who's also a citizen of Israel, fought in the War of Independence, and will be attending that event as well on behalf of many of the other Holocaust survivors. So it's going to be an interesting few days, not only in terms of the events surrounding the Fifth World Holocaust Forum itself, but also because, of course, there will be many meetings around the edges of this particular event.
I'm just hoping the Holocaust gets a mention with some of those meetings.
I think the Holocaust will be get more than a mention.
Tomorrow especially. And you said that starts tonight, really, the focus on the Holocaust. So today will be all sorts of other things.
Anthony, is Vladimir bringing a backpack and a backpacker with him?
I presume he's bringing more than just a backpack and a backpacker. It seems as if though he'll have a significant entourage accompanying him, as indeed.
I think I was referring to Naama. Do we have any further information on that?
We don't have further information on that, but my expectation, as I said yesterday, is that he certainly won't be bringing her along. And I'm not sure whether we can truly expect her to be released even in the very, very near future.
You're skeptical around this, eh?
It would be such a nice gesture if on his plane he would return the Israeli backpacker held in jail.
And the 9.2 grams or whatever she was caught with. That's not necessary. Yes.
I'm sure we can find him a dealer in Tel Aviv if he needs.
I'm pretty sure about that.
There are some people who expected that this might happen. I think that's a little bit too much to expect. I'm a lot more skeptical about it. I'm here and available to be surprised.
Wouldn't it be wonderful? Skepticism
to one side. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm sorry, Anthony, I'm going to interrupt you because yesterday after we spoke about it, I got a few SMSs because we didn't give sort of the background of the story. We speak about it as though everybody knows. And that's because it is something we speak a lot about it. She was a young Israeli woman who was backpacking or traveling in India. She was transiting back to Israel through I think it was Moscow. She had a couple of grams of marijuana in her check-in luggage, which was searched and found, and not enough to be considered a dealer, but maybe a little bit more than somebody should really carry on their person. But she's arrested and she's been sentenced to some ridiculous amount of time in prison.
7.5 years in a Russian jail,
and lots of pressure and lots of support for her release.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as you say, she wasn't in possession personally in Russia of the marijuana. It was in her luggage, which was being transited and wasn't with her at the time. And yet the luggage was found, the marijuana was found, And she was charged. She shouldn't have done it. Absolutely. I don't think there's anybody who could defend her actions. Mm-hmm. Having said that, 7.5 years seems a long time to spend in a Russian jail for what is clearly just a small amount of personal use marijuana. And so it seems as if the punishment that's been meted out to her, is really in, it's just not, commensurate with the crime that she committed. Mm-hmm. And hence through this huge campaign to try and get her released. And it seems as if though it hasn't fallen on deaf ears, but there is always, as we know, a price to be paid for everything. And I don't think that this is going to come for free at all.
Anthony, has there been any further development with the Polish Prime Minister at the memorial? Because he wasn't happy about a lot of what was going on.
Well, the Polish Prime Minister, the Polish President will not be attending.
Yeah.
He will not be attending as a result of this kind of a little altercation about whether he would be allowed to speak at the event tomorrow or not. Yad Vashem and the organizers have stood firm, saying that we can't get everybody to speak, and why would the Polish president have more right to speak than anybody else? There is, of course, a very strict list of speakers that's been put together, and they seem not to be budging on that. But I think that this is really more about the relationship with Israel and Poland, and the relationship with Israel and Poland with regard to the Holocaust, and the idea that Poland and Polish people may have been responsible for, unfortunately, being involved in the extermination of some of those Jews in Poland. And of course, the Polish are very, very determined to try somehow to rewrite that history and say that Poland was, and Polish people were not involved and cannot be held responsible, because really this is all about Nazi Germany. And of course, Israel is not backing down on that particular issue, because there are so many Holocaust survivors, even ones who are surviving to this day, who can tell stories about how Polish people, unfortunately, jumped on the bandwagon and, you know, were involved in some of that extermination. By the way, not only Polish, you know, the same is true of Lithuanians and many other nationalities who were not part of the German Nazi extermination machine. And Poland is saying, look, we don't want to be part of this. We don't want to be held responsible. We don't want anybody to point fingers at us. We feel that this is really all Germany's fault. So I think that's really what this is about.
So we certainly will get updates from you tomorrow on that. Before I let you go, Jenny wants to know, is marijuana legal in Israel?
So marijuana for personal use, for medicinal use, is actually legal. And the authorities do turn a blind eye to people who just use it for their own personal use. There's no, even though no the law censure. Doesn't specifically allow it. But of course, dealing is not allowed, and the authorities do crack down quite substantially on those people who are found to be dealing marijuana.
Anthony, as well, Ivana has sent a link, which perhaps we can talk about tomorrow. A terrible story, terrible, terrible story of two ultra-Orthodox young women jumping to their death in Jerusalem. I saw the story late yesterday. It is absolutely heartbreaking. Perhaps tomorrow you can give us some of the backstory to this.
Yeah, I'll try and do my best. I also saw the story, and I've gone trying to go into it to understand what's gone on there. It is a very, very tragic story, but unfortunately one which does represent a lot of what goes on within the ultra-Orthodox community. So I certainly will have a chat about that, and I encourage people to write in and to have their say even before I talk about it, or indeed on any other story that might interest them.
Thanks, Anthony. Have a great one. We'll catch you same time, same place tomorrow.